turn with me, please, to the passage that we read, the last book of the Old Testament, the book of the prophet Malachi, chapter 3, and we're going to consider the words that we find in verse 6. I think they're words that are appropriate as we come to the end of a year, and God willing, we'd go into a new year. Malachi 3 and 6, and we read there, "For I, the Lord, do not change. Therefore you, O children of Jacob, are not consumed. I, the Lord, do not change." Now, when it is that you look back at the history of the world over the past 200, and particularly, say, the last 100 years, I think there's one word that certainly can be used to describe the past two centuries, and it is the word change. Some of the changes that have taken place have certainly been for the good of society. We can think in terms of health and so on, in terms of all the many gadgets that we have that help us in our day-to-day lives. But it is that some of the change has not been the best as well. Think of it in terms of how quickly life seems to be lived at today. The pace of life, it continually seems to be speeding up. I think it's part and parcel of the nature of progress, that when it is that you progress, that in general things tend to go faster. It is that I was reading just recently that King George of England, that he wrote on July the 4th, 1776, that nothing much happened today. And the reason he wrote that on July the 4th, 1776, is because it took him at that time weeks to discover that the colonies were in rebellion, that there was a full-fledged rebellion going on in what was to become the United States of America. Yet if it were the case that King George were alive today, he would know it instantly of what was happening, taking place, in terms of tweets, in terms of texts, in terms of emails, that no doubt he would be flooded with, in terms of the immediacy of news broadcasters like CNN and Fox News, the BBC and others. And it's a reminder to us that from the time of King George, that life has certainly speeded up. The world, in a sense, has become a lot smaller. And things that perhaps you wouldn't hear about for many weeks, if not months of a year, it is that you're seeing them happening in real time. Even battles that are taking place in fields of war and so on. So it is that everything is moving faster, and at times that can leave us behind. Because of that, it can lead to a sense of uncertainty, and perhaps even a sense of fear, the change that's going on. Then another thing that's brought about by change is that every decision that we have to make seems to become ever more complicated. It used to be the case that in terms of choice and so on, we had very little choice, and so it is that decisions were very simple. You didn't have to think much about decisions that you would make, yet nowadays it's changed totally. And it is that we're inundated with multiple choices. For instance, do you know that there are 12 different varieties of Gillette shaving cream? Let me go through them. There's normal skin, there's fragrance-free, there's a tough beard, there's regular, there's skin conditioning, there's sensitive skin, there's menthol, there's medicated, there's extra moisturizing, extra protection, extra refreshing, and extra soothing. That's why it is I've got a beard, because it is that I couldn't cope going in each day and having these 12 choices before me and wondering what shaving soap or cream is it that I should use. But then there's something that really brings, I think, home to us how serious it is and important it is that we understand something of the change that is taking place even on a day-to-day basis. Because of the change that is happening, we find ourselves living at a time when every value is being challenged. And we see this everywhere. Right has been called wrong. Wrong has been called right. There are people today that don't even believe there is such a thing as right and wrong. And it is that every value that we've had for centuries here in North America, there it is that these values that have stood the test of time, that they're being challenged by some group or another today. And because of political correctness and wokeness and whatever else that you would wish to call it, it is that it's created all kinds of crazy ideas that people are now accepting as fact and as things that need to be implemented, not only in the life of individuals, but also to a greater degree or extent in the life of the society that they belong to. And I think that the words of the Apostle Paul in Romans 1, when it is that he writes, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. It is that we're seeing that increasingly in the time in which we live. And it is that we're living at a time where everything is plausible, and yet nothing, as far as many are concerned, is absolutely certain. So the question for us tonight at the end of this year, and a year when we've experienced great change, we've experienced it at a societal level, perhaps it is that you've experienced it in terms of yourself, your health, your strength, in terms of your marriage, in terms of your employment, whatever else it may be. How is it then that you're supposed to live in this kind of environment where we are subject to change? All of us look into the mirror at the end of this year and we recognize that we've become another year older, that 365 days have passed, and it is that we have changed physically and perhaps in so many ways. Is there anything that never ever changes? Well, thank the Lord tonight for the words of Malachi chapter 3 and verse 6, when from the Lord's own lips he declares and says, "For I, the Lord, do not change. Therefore it is that you, children of Jacob, are not consumed." So what is it that we're being presented with here? Well, it is that the Lord himself is reminding us that in terms of who and what he is, that he is the immutable God, that he does not change. Now, last week we considered what John writes in Revelation 19 and 6 concerning God and how appropriate it was for the end of the year. And it is that the Lord declares there that the Lord omnipotent reigns, and we considered something of the doctrine of the omnipotence of God. Well, it is tonight that again we're coming to consider something of the nature and character of God, and particularly as we would, with his help, go into the year that lies ahead. And so it is that the doctrine we're considering for a little while is what's termed as the doctrine of the immutability of God. Now that word immutability, it's a word that's to some perhaps unusual, and it's a word that you need to define carefully. We've heard this year, and particularly the past 6 months, and used the word mutation. We've seen how it is that COVID-19, that there's been the Delta variant and so on, and it's now mutated to the Omicron variant. And people are holding their hands up in horror, wondering what the Omicron might mutate into in the year that lies ahead. And it is that when mutation takes place, these are random genetic changes that produce new offspring. So if something is mutable, it's subject to change in any degree whatsoever. Therefore, to be immutable means to be unchanging and unchangeable. And it is that's how we are to understand the doctrine of God's immutability. Basically, what it's saying is that God does not change in his basic character. Now, there are several ways to understand this truth and to apply it. He doesn't change in terms of his purposes. He never grows in knowledge or wisdom. It is that he never differs from himself. He never improves upon his own perfection. He is already perfect and as perfect as one can be. He never grows or develops in any respect. You can use the word always to express these truths, that God is always wise. He's always sovereign. He's always good. He's always just. He's always holy. He's always merciful and always gracious. In other words, whatever God is and however we understand the God of the Bible, he always is. There are no sometime attributes concerning God. But all of the attributes of God this night, last year, and even in millennia to come, it is that these attributes are always attributes. He always is what he is. Listen to James 1 and 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. He does not change. Hebrews 13 and 8. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. It is that Jesus does not change. Psalm 102 from verse 25. Of old you laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you will remain. They will all wear out like a garment. You will change them like a robe, and they will pass away. But you are the same, and your years have no end. Now, as always, in terms of a teaching concerning the God of the Bible, there are those who would object even to this doctrine of God's immutability. Some of the reasons that they give, they would say to us, well, doesn't change bring freshness? Doesn't change bring a progress of one sort or another? Isn't change something that has benefited us as a society? To some people, the idea that God doesn't change, they would say to you that it makes it sound as though God is boring. They would point out to us like this and say, if the weather never changed, things would be pretty dull. If it is that we sang the same songs all the time, it would get monotonous. And everyone, if it is that they always stayed the same in terms of their life would lose some of its quality and its richness, and even in terms of the fun aspect of life. And so the reason that if God really doesn't change, then it is that God would become boring as well. When it is that you go down that road, what you're doing is you're comparing apples with oranges. Things get boring when they become uninteresting. But God is anything but boring. God is immutable, but God is also unfathomable. In other words, it doesn't matter how well you get to know God. It doesn't matter how much time you spend in this world seeking the face and the favor of God. You will still never be able to know God fully. And that's as applicable in heaven as down here on earth. And one of the exciting things about the God whom we worship this night is that we are able all the days that he gives to us to discover on a daily and ongoing basis that even though it is that he does not change, that he is so immense in terms of who and what he is, that 1,000, 1,000,000 lifetimes we could never waste, as it were, or come to an end of discovering who and what he is. In other words, walking with the Lord, whether in this scene of time, whether in glory, it's an adventure that is unequal in all of life and all of eternity. You see, God is only boring if it is that your relationship with God on your part becomes static. If it is that you don't change in terms of your closeness to God, your understanding of God, in terms of your intimacy with the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible only becomes boring when it is that you absent yourself from interacting with the mind of God as contained within the Word. But then it is that the critic would come back and say, but doesn't the Bible also imply that God changes? There's a theology that's been around for a number of years, and sadly, even some of those whom we would have considered as sound and those whom we would listen to, it is that they are being seduced by this theology. And this new theology proclaims a new God who is in process. Instead of being a God who is constant and consistent, the God of the Bible, they say to us, is constantly changing. That it is that he's a God who takes risks, that he plays the odds, and it is that this God does the best he can. That this God does not know what the future holds, and the reason he doesn't know what the future holds, and this is where it is that I'm blown away, is because they say it partly depends on you and I. And therefore it is that this God is open to possibilities. Now, where did they get such a theology from? Well, believe it or not, such a theology is anchored in passages in the King James Version of the Bible, and particularly in passages where it's said of God that he repented. He declared that he was going to destroy Nineveh, and then he repented and did not destroy them. It is that there are times when we read that God was sorry that he had made man, and that he was sorry, he repented, that he had made Saul king. So the question arises then, does God change his mind? Does God ever make a mistake? And the issue becomes even more complicated when it is that you read, say, in Numbers 23 and 19, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. It's saying the exact opposite of what it is that other scriptures are saying concerning God. And then 1 Samuel 15 and 19, the strength of Israel will not lie nor repent, for he is not a man that he should repent. So how do you understand the passages that seem to contradict each other? One illustration that I came across that was helpful is this one. Suppose at the start of a new semester at school or university, your teacher tells you that you'll need at least a 70% grade to pass the class. Well, it is. You don't like this teacher. You don't work as hard as you should. And your grade average is 50% at midterm. And the teacher tells your parents that you're not working up to your potential and that you're not trying. And so it is that the teacher gives you an F grade. And it seems even nowadays that they're saying that teachers shouldn't even give F grades. There's no such thing as failure. And do you know what that's going to lead us to? That's another sermon for another time. And it is that you proclaim that the teacher is mean, the teacher doesn't like you. Your parents begin encouraging you in terms of better study habits, and you begin to do better in class. The teacher affirms your effort, gives you a C at the end of the school year. Teacher, as far as you're concerned, seems now to be all smiles. The class is no longer horrible. In fact, it's one of your favorites. So the question is, who really changed? Who really changed? Was it the teacher or was it the student? The teacher acted as she said she would at the beginning. She was consistent, but the one who changed was the student. And it is that the student received a different outcome, but it was not due to a shadow of turning in the teacher. It was due to a change in you. Listen to what Jeremiah writes in chapter 18 from verse 7. If at any time I announce that a nation or kingdom is to be uprooted, torn down, and destroyed, and if that nation I warned repents of its evil, then I will relent and not inflict on it the disaster I had planned. And if at another time I announce that a nation or kingdom is to be built up and planted, and if it does evil in my sight and does not obey me, then I will reconsider the good I had intended to do for it. In other words, God through the prophet is saying, I don't change, but it is that the people change. And since it is that the people have changed, God relates to them differently as he pursues his purpose in their lives. And the biblical testimony is unequivocal. The Lord does not change like men do. Our relationship with him and toward him changes, but it's due to a change in us, not due to a change in him. Now, what's the importance of this then? In a practical sense for us in 2022. Let me look at a few things with you. The importance of God's immutability, firstly, is to be found in the fact that nothing that matters has changed. Nothing that matters has changed. If you're like me, you yearn for something you can depend on. Someone, something you can depend on. And in a world of constant change, it feels like we're trying to hold on tight to a handful of sand, even perhaps a handful of water, hoping to hold that water in our hand, even as it drips from our hand. But since God is immutable, we know that the really important things have not changed and will not change. And that's something that should fill you with confidence and hope this evening. For instance, God's evaluation of the human heart and of the need for change in the human heart is the same in every generation. That's why it is that we dare not delude ourselves into thinking that if somehow we tamper with the gospel, if somehow it is that we tamper with the need of the change of heart and the heart being changed from stone to flesh, that somehow it is that this will bless our people. No. Because God's evaluation is the same in every age. But also, therefore, God's offer in Christ is a constant. Wherever we are, however we are, wherever it is that God in his will would take us, the offer of salvation that we are able to give in Christ's name, it is something that is an absolute constant. Therefore, it is that the work of God's Spirit in the human heart is something that continues from generation to generation to generation. And then I think one of the most important things is that the certainty of life beyond the grave is unaffected by changes in society. That no matter how atheistic our society becomes, no matter how totalitarian, or if it is that we have a dictator of one form or another ruling over us, and it is that Christians are being slaughtered in their millions, the glorious truth is that the certainty of life beyond the grave is something that doesn't change, even though society at its root level changes. And the biblical definition of truth in what truth is doesn't change in spite of public opinion polls and in spite of people taking words and literally just ripping them apart in terms of the meanings that they've stood for and the reality that they've represented down through the centuries and millennia. It is that this year, the new year, you may move to a different location, you may take a different job, whatever it is you are, your circumstances may change, hopefully for the better, but even if they change for the worse, the comfort for us tonight is this, that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That God's word and God's word alone remains the standard and our standard of truth, and it is therefore the case that God's Spirit remains our guide. So nothing that matters has changed. Nothing that matters to your eternal destiny has changed. Even if it is that you're here tonight and you think that this past year that you've sinned greatly, it hasn't changed in terms of the fact that the blood of Jesus is able to cleanse you from all sin. That will never change. Second thing, since God is unchanging, God's character is consistent. Every hockey team manager, especially in terms of their star players that maybe they've spent millions of dollars on, one of the things that they look for is that a hockey player, that they're consistent. It's the same in soccer, in proper football, when it is that your star player goes through a dry period and they're not scoring goals as they once did. What the manager wants of them is a sense of consistency, and a consistency that is manifest in terms of the ball or the puck going into the back of the net. It would be great to know that every time that individual went onto the ice or the soccer field, that it is that they'd always be putting a balls or pucks in the back of the net, but that doesn't happen. That's not real. It is that even the very best in terms of athletics and sports and so on, it is that at times they go through dry periods. Even preachers know that. How you would love if consistently your pastor, even me in 2022, would preach and preach in a way that you would know of blessing. But even pastors go through dry seasons, some longer than others. Children tonight, they want to know that every time they want to talk to their parents, that their parents would be 100% attentive. But unfortunately, and the reality is that one time the parent is willing to drop everything and listen, and the next time the parent is too preoccupied to listen to what it is that their children want to talk about. And it's reminding us that we don't know anyone whose character is always the same. At one moment, you can be attentive, you can be sensitive, you can be generous, and at the other moment, you can be distracted, you can be hurtful, you can be self-absorbed. But thank the Lord tonight that he says to us through the prophet, I, the Lord, do not change. I am never less than who I declare myself to be. And it is that I can never improve because there is no improvement possible in terms of who and what I am. I am already perfect. I am always wise, always sovereign, always good, always just, always holy, merciful, and gracious. Whatever and wherever God is, he always is. One writer put it like this, there are no sometimes attributes with God. Now, practically, there is great comfort there for us tonight on the basis of this doctrine. It means that God will always care. Your husband may not care about you. Your wife may not care about you. Your children may not care about you. And we see this increasingly when it is that children are neglecting their elderly parents and so on. But the wonderful truth tonight is this, that the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ will always care. And he will care to such an extent that he will always seek a relationship with you. It is that he will always forgive the individual who truly repents. And he will always save the one who rests in Christ's finished work. And he will always defend, protect, and shield his children. You know what it's like sometimes. And all of us have this from time to time. You have a bad day. It is that when you have your bad day, not only do you suffer, but very often your nearest and dearest suffer as well because you're having a bad day. Well, the wonderful thing tonight is this. You will never come to God and find God having a bad day. Never. Never. He is always there. He is amenable. He delights when it is in Christ's name we seek his face and his favor. And he's true to his word. Are you always true to your word? When you look back over 2021, can you say that you've always remained true to your word? Can I? Well, let's test it for a moment. How many times this year did you promise to be someplace at a certain time and you didn't get there? How many times did you or I perhaps promise to check in on someone or phone them and you never got around to it? How many times did you promise to get a job done? And that applies to me at home. And it is that you never got to the job and the job is still there half finished and it needs to be completed. Or how many times have we promised to pray for one another in the past year? But we've forgotten to do so. It's not that we didn't want to, but it is that the promise just didn't come into, it didn't produce anything. We promised to love, honor, and cherish till death do us part, till death do us part, and sometimes we don't do that. We promise to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth, and sometimes we shade the truth or leave important elements of the truth out. It's not that we're lying, but it is that we're not telling the whole truth. Can you imagine if God was like that? Imagine how uncertain our eternal standing would be tonight. Imagine how uncertain it would be to go into 2022 if it is that God was like that. But praise be to God, he tells us, I'm not like that, and when it is I make a promise to you, it is sure. When he promises to supply all our needs, he will do so. We may differ with him as to what it is we think we need and what it is that we want, but God will supply all our needs. What about this one? And again, it trips from our lips so easily. But the power and the reality in these words, when he says to us in Christ, I will never leave you, I will never forsake you, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. Here is Christ, and in his word tonight, brothers and sisters, he's promising us that he will never leave us. In 2022, our spouse may leave us, either walking out, or our spouse may leave us in terms of death. Others may leave us, and it could be like that. And even if it is that you're sporadic in your contact with God in the coming year, God has said, I will not leave you. What about the work that he started within us? How much more sanctified are you at the end of this year than the previous year or the years before that? Or are you perhaps of the persuasion tonight that this year you've maybe taken two steps forward in terms of sanctification, but the truth is that you've gone five steps back and you're further away from a Christ than you were even a couple of years ago? It's easy to drift. It's easy to get distracted. It's easy at this time of COVID to be taken up with all these things and to take our eyes of the one who is sovereign and of the one who does all things well and has said that the good work that he began within us, he will bring it on to the day of completion. Do you believe that? Do I believe it? Do we believe that there will come a point when, like Christ, we will be able to say, Tetelestai, it is finished? When it is that we stand before our God and Savior. And then this, God promises that everyone who comes to him, he will not cast aside. And God means that because God does not change. He never reneges. He never forgets. He's true to every single syllable and consonant that makes up his word. And that's the hope and the assurance that is ours at the end of the year and going into the new year. And that brings us to the next point, and it's this. Since God is unchanging, his love for you will never diminish. As he loved you in the past, as he loved you from before the beginning of time, it is that he will love you now and love you on into eternity. I think one of the fears that some people have when they get married is that the love in the relationship will eventually someday diminish. One day they're going to wake up beside their partner in bed, and it is that they'll say, I don't love that person anymore. My love for them has disappeared. There may be sound reasons for that, or it may just be that something that's come about, and it is that they're saying, I don't love that person anymore. Maybe it is that our physical features will change. Maybe it is that we'll become ill, we'll become incapacitated, or perhaps it is that we're afraid that we're just going to become boring. That's a fear of preachers, that they just are going to become boring. But whatever the fear is, it's real. And you've seen it happen to others as I've seen it. How many families this year have fractured over relatively insignificant things? How many families, even Christian families, are dysfunctional? It's fine in the church, but at home behind four walls, it's a different story. And it is that you and I know that love often ebbs and flows. But this kind of thing will never happen to God. And in the way that he relates to us, he is consistent, and you can depend on God's love. Remember what Paul writes at the end of Romans 8. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or sword? No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure, I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Some of us are desperate to hear that tonight. Some of us are desperate to know that tonight. It is that in 2021 you made some foolish choices and bad things happened in your life. And it is that you wonder where you stand in terms of God's love for you. Maybe it is that you're at the position now where you have difficulty praying because you're ashamed and embarrassed by what it is that you've done the past year. And maybe it is that you're at the point where you wish that the earth would open up and swallow you up, because you're constantly saying to yourself, how could God love me after all the wrong that I've done? But the truth is, and thank God this is the truth, God knew us perfectly. He decided to love us even before it is that we came into this scene of time. He knew about your nature. He knew about your rebellious heart. He knew about what you were going to do. He knew about how you were going to rebel against him. He knew that you were going to go through days without even giving him a thought or reading his word or being found in church or in the place of prayer. And it is that knowing all this, he still chooses to love you. What a great God is ours tonight. Because Jesus came into the world to declare God's love, to provide a way for us to be forgiven. It is that he went to the cross for your sin and my sin. And why did he do it? He did it because he loved us. He did it because he wants us to be with him in glory. You see, the Bible tells us that God's arms are open, that they are not closed, that he's not glaring at us, but it is that he's inviting us through his word, through the fellowship of his people, through the body of Christ, to be with him and to be with brothers and sisters in Christ. He calls us to come clean about our wrongdoing and to receive his forgiveness. And that still is true tonight, as it was on the last Lord's Day of 2020, 2019, as far back as you can go. And it will still be as true each last Lord's Day evening for the decades, millennia that perhaps lie ahead. How then is it with us tonight? I think there's great comfort and encouragement when the Lord says to us, I, the Lord, do not change. That's a text for your fridge. Print it out even tonight and stick it up in your fridge. And it's there every time you go to get the milk or the butter or whatever else it may be. And when it is that you're having a bad day, because we will all have a bad day or days in 2022, there's no doubt about it, that you go to the fridge and it's there in front of you in black and white. I, the Lord, do not change. Oh, thanks be to God for who and what he is. May he bless these thoughts to us. Amen. Let's stand to pray. Father, it is that as we stand before you this evening, we thank you for the truth of your word and that you declare to us that you do not change, and therefore we as the sons of Jacob are not consumed. It is, Lord, part and parcel of life that we are those who are subject to change. We know of it physically. We know of it in terms even of our wisdom, as hopefully our wisdom, we increase in wisdom. We know of it in terms of what illness, how it can ravage us at times and brings about change, a physical and even mental change. And yet it is, we have this hope, this assurance, this word from yourself that you do not change. Lord, we don't know what 2022 holds. From a human perspective, the world at the moment is so unstable. We see it in terms of COVID. We see it in terms of the Russian-Ukraine situation. We see it, Lord, in terms of the China-Taiwan situation. And who knows what may transpire in the year ahead. But we bless you and we praise you that even if it is that the world goes from bad to worse, that the one constant and the thing that is consistent in our lives is the truth that you do not change. And we pray that all of us, without exception, that we might grasp that promise firmly and that we might even burn it into the very core of our being, that our God does not change. So, Lord, we thank you again for the fact that for 52 Lord's Days, we have been able to meet here freely and without fear of persecution. And we pray that even now as we return to our homes in the last days of this year, that these would be days of great blessing, days, as it were, of preparing for a new year, and perhaps even for some of us, a new start with you. Hear us now and forgive sin. We ask this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.